interesting that you and I just sang that song, because it's so characteristic of what you and I are going to be studying. I trust in the days to come. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. My son Jonathan is our oldest son. He'll be 32 June the 6th on D-Day, interestingly enough. And years ago, Jonathan got into this idea, like most children sometimes will think about ideas. He came to his mother and myself and said, I'd like to start a business. I said, great, entrepreneurial spirit, all this kind of stuff. And then he gave us the dream, kind of gave us the vision of this business. And here's what it was. He said, what I'd like to do is I'd like to have some clothing that communicates. Clothing that communicates. Now, for an example, I'm just going to put you on the spot, Mike. If you'll stand just for a moment. If you'll look at Mike's T-shirt, just walk the runway for us, would you? There you go. There you go. Woo. Okay, do a little sachet, you know, on the way. There you go. There it is. There it is. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Did you notice he has a T-shirt that he is wearing that communicates? And the big word that you see on there is hope. Well, Jonathan had the same idea some time back, and so he wanted to be he was in high school, and he said, you know, it'd be great to be able to walk down the halls of the high school there and to be able to have something that someone would say and stop me and say, hey, what do you mean by that? Ah. And it would have some type of a message of the gospel, something that would start a conversation with the gospel. But there was one other thing to it. Not just a T-shirt such as what Mike and others wear, but these particular T-shirts were turned inside out and printed. The label, the tag, was hanging out. The seams, you could very obviously see. And so therefore, it had an additional dynamic, because somebody would inevitably say, hey, buddy, your shirt's turned on the inside out. Did you not know that when you got up this morning? And then you would say, no, that's the way it's supposed to be. Because you see, as a follower of Jesus Christ, my life is to be lived from the inside out. So, with that, just sort of as a little bit of a push the boat out into the water launch, I want to ask you to take your Bible or your tablet or smartphone or whatever you like to use, and I want to ask you to turn to what I believe to be the greatest sermon that's ever been preached, and that is through the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it affectionately the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Now, I've been there. It's a beautiful place. And I can see exactly how Jesus got the crowds to hear this message. Now, in your English Bible, you have 111 verses. If you were to just start reading this and just read it straight through, probably would take most anybody, I would say, probably less than 15 minutes to read it. Some people would say, yes, and we wish that your messages were only 15 minutes long. If he did it like that, why don't you do it like that? And as I usually and so compassionately say, get over it. That's not going to happen. But you have 111 verses. You have 19 different, what I'm going to call paragraphs of thought. For instance, there's sort of 19 messages within the sermon. And you'll see what we're talking about as you journey with us. I want to give you a little bit of a challenge. Now, I'm going to appeal to this same challenge myself. I'm going to read, and I want to invite you to do it with me. As long as we are in this series, I want to invite you to read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, every week. Now, like I said, probably wouldn't take most of you 15 minutes to read it. Maybe some of us a little longer. But I want to challenge my own heart, and I want to challenge yours, that we would read the Sermon on the Mount every week, at least once every week, every week. Okay? Not just this coming week, every week. Now, I know some of you are going to be busy, traveling, vacations, and all that kind of stuff. But take it with you. Now, you say, David, good try. I just don't read that well. Well, then get it on tape. Yeah. You see, in my other job, I get to travel all over the state of Georgia, and guess what I have? I have a set of CDs that I listen to. I can't remember the guy that we went and saw in the drama, Screwtape Letters. Marilyn will come up with it later. And then she'll tell y'all. But I have this guy speaking the entire Bible on tape. Well, that'd be a good way to listen to it. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Now, read it if you can. But I'm going to commit to read it every week, and I want to challenge you to do the same thing, because I can tell you one thing. This is a life changer. This is a life-changing message. And we will see that as we continue to stay through it. A lot of different kinds of subjects. Now, let me just tell you what those 19 paragraphs, those 111 verses will do. They will point you, they will point me, they will point us into the direction of spiritual responsibility. And by the way, you and I have that. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, you and I have a responsibility. You know, I think sometimes we think that, well, you know, gave my life to Jesus a long time ago, and you know, and all this kind of stuff, and so I'm just sort of skipping through life, you know, kind of, you know, running around the maypole. No, we all have a spiritual responsibility, and I believe the Lord Jesus very effectively gives us those responsibilities. So, what is the theme of this book? Well, if you have your Bible open, or your smartphone, your tablet, whatever you like to use, I want to invite you to look at one chapter back to chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, because he gives us the whole theme of this message. And the theme of the message is the gospel of the kingdom. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 4 and verse 23. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming, here it comes, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The gospel of the kingdom. Now, let me give you a little word study just for a moment. The word gospel. Would anybody like to just tell us, you'd like to just blurt it out just as loud as you can, what the word gospel means? Wonderful. I'm among friends. We know what we're talking about. It is good news. And here's what it really boils down to. Charles Ryrie is a great theologian out in Dallas, Texas. And Dr. Ryrie said, this is the good news that the presence of the king caused the rule of God on earth. Jesus even said that the kingdom has already come. You know what I think, you know, just in my mind's eye, what he was doing? He was pointing at himself. Because he's the king. He brings about the rule of the kingdom. And so the gospel of the kingdom is good news. And guess what? You and I are now going to be able to bear the gospel of the kingdom. Why? Because Christ is in us. And so therefore, we have this wonderful good news that people need to hear and need to experience. Now, there are some prerequisites, by the way. There are some prerequisites to sort of embrace and be entered into the kingdom. Okay? Let me tell you what they are. There are three. First, there is repentance. That's an act of faith. You know what repentance is? Can I show y'all what repentance is? This is a visual. Okay? I'm going to show you what repentance is. Now, y'all watching just for a moment? Because I think this will really sort of, you know, we throw these big words out sometimes and we think, what in the world does that mean? Okay, I'm going to show you what repentance means. I'm going this way. This is my way. I want to do my thing. In life, that's what a lot of people do. It's my, old Blue Eyes used to say, I did it my way. Well, that's all and fine, Frank, but there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is what? The way of death. And so, I'm on my way. But what is repentance? Watch this. All eyes, watch this. I turn and I go another way. Now you say, well, that's pretty elementary. Does it need to be any more confusing? Do we need to add any more to that? That's what repentance is. Repentance is turning 180 degrees going from your way and going God's way. That's what real, true repentance is. That's an act of faith. So that's the first prerequisite. The second prerequisite for an entrance into the kingdom is righteousness. That's the actions of faith. And that's what you and I are going to read about a lot and study over a lot. And every week we're going to read through those three chapters, those 111 verses, those 19 paragraphs of thought. We're going to read about those righteous actions of faith. You're going to read it. It's going to become very clear to you as you read and reread and reread the action. And that's a spiritual responsibility. You've been saved not to sit. You've been saved to be sent. And it may not be to Africa. It may not be to China. It may be across the room. To reveal these righteous acts. And you'll see what we're talking about as we continue to go through this. And then thirdly and finally, a prerequisite for entrance into the kingdom also includes childlike faith. And that is an attitude in faith. Childlike faith. Can I illustrate that for y'all again? Y'all up for illustrations? This is going to be a very visual worship service. Jack, you look like you need something to do. You've been busy all morning, and I want to ask you to participate with me. Jack, would you come and sit in that chair? Thank you, Jack. You can go back to your seat now. Didn't you do a great job? Didn't Jack do a wonderful job? You say, what's the point, David? Well, I asked Jack to do one thing. Jack listened, and if you please, he obeyed, if you can put it in that kind of terminology, he obeyed my voice, and he came, and he did one thing. And what did he do? He sat down in the chair. Now, Jack put a lot of faith in me, when you think about it, because that could have been a trick chair. Yeah, I could have loosened the screws in that chair, and Jack could have come tumbling down. But no, Jack put a lot of faith in me. He trusted my word. He came, and he sat down in the chair. That's childlike faith, folks. When God tells us to do something, as children, we just do it. Don't touch that fire. Don't you go out in that street. Don't let that dog lick you in the mouth. Where did that one come from? You see, that's what Jesus wants to be to us, a father. And what Jesus wants from us is to be children. He wants us to be not childish, but childlike. And so therefore, a prerequisite is repentance, righteousness, and then childlike faith. And that's where we're headed. So I hope that you will understand that, just summarizing this, it really is that the prerequisite to be a part of the kingdom is to be born again. Does that communicate? Do y'all understand what that term means, to be born again? Well, we're going to discuss that all through this series, and I trust that you will. I trust that you'll take serious. Now, have you got your Bible open to Matthew chapter 5? Good, because that's where we start. Because there are 3 points to this sermon. Jesus was a good Southern Baptist. I never really realized that until I looked at the Sermon on the Mount and found out there's 3 points to this. Now, there's not a poem nor a deathbed story, but nonetheless, there are 3 points. The first is the citizens of the kingdom. The citizens of the kingdom. And by the way, you can see who those citizens are in the first 12 verses of chapter 5. Now, there's something about those guys, that something about us, that as we are citizens of the kingdom, Jesus describes the character. In these first 12 verses, Jesus describes the character of those who are, and the blessing of those people of the kingdom. Look at this. If you look at those first 12 verses, you'll begin reading in verse 2 about these unique characteristics. And one of those characteristics is a common word that you read all the way through. What is that word? Blessed. Did you know in the Old Testament that the word blessed literally means happy? Yeah. Yeah, that's what it means. It means happy. As a matter of fact, in most Old Testament passages of Scripture where the word blessed is used, especially as it deals with a specific person and issue, you know what it really means? Happy, happy. That's what it really means. But Jesus takes it a step further because He doesn't necessarily just want you to be happy. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the character of the citizens of the kingdom. Here's what Jesus is really teaching. He doesn't necessarily want you to be happy. Isn't that a strange thing for me to say today? You've come here to church and you want to, you know, I go to church to be encouraged and comforted and I want to leave happy. Now, Jesus really doesn't preach this message of 111 verses and 19 different... No, Jesus doesn't teach us to be happy. Jesus is trying to teach us how to be holy. And there's a dramatic difference. You know what happiness is? Happiness is built around happenings. Yeah. Just got off the big roller coaster at Six Flags. Your hair's pulled back. You know, look like this, you know. Everybody that sees you, your eyes are all watery. Man, you had a great time. You know why you had a great time? Because you just got on the roller coaster. But sometime in that day, you might not be that happy. Most of you are saying, you scare me to death. I'd never get on that roller coaster. Well, Jesus is not teaching us how to be happy. Jesus is teaching us, He's teaching His children, what I want of you is I want you to be holy. And you'll see that as we continue to study through that. So He describes the character, but He also describes the relationship to the world. Can I show you this now? Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Two interesting things that Jesus uses, and this is a common denominator of His ministry. He says, first, you are the salt of the earth. Look, if you will, at verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. You are salt and you are light. Now, we're going to get into that in greater detail. I'm just trying to describe what Jesus is trying to describe, not only the citizens of the kingdom and their character, but also their relationship to the world. And ladies and gentlemen, if you consider or you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, guess what you are? You're salt and you're light. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world, listen, the world needs you. As a follower of Jesus Christ, the world needs you. That's the reason it is a responsibility for us to be responsible. And so you first have the citizens of the kingdom. The second thing that you have in this wonderful message is the righteousness of the kingdom. Here's a question for you. How does a believer reveal their righteousness? How does a believer, in the practicality of what Jesus is teaching, how do you think we reveal our righteousness? Watch this. It's not by presenting the gospel. Careful, David. Watch this now. Hey, listen. I'm a Bible-believing, Bible-toting. I love gospel. Singing gospel, preaching gospel, everything. I love that stuff. But how do we reveal our righteousness? It's not through gospel presentation. You ready for this? It's through gospel revelation. My father used to say this, and it wasn't original with him. Solomon said that nothing is new under the sun. So my dad didn't make this up. But listen to this. He used to say, David, talking's good, but doing gets the job done. Talk is cheap. Have you ever heard that expression? Talk is cheap. But ladies and gentlemen, family of God, follower of Christ, listen to me. What Jesus wants you and me and of you and me is to not so much present the gospel, but reveal the gospel. And that's what this is going to be all about. And that's the reason God warmed my heart when I started studying through these notes and these outlines and this thought and this passage of Scripture, these 111 verses and these 19 different sermonettes, as it would be in the message that Jesus preached on the Mount. That's the reason it just warmed my heart, because I know this is the rubber that hits the road. This is where you and I should be living our life. So how does a believer reveal their righteousness? They do it by staying in line with God's law. And by the way, you can read about all of that. It's all right here. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 5. Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. How important it is. And then beginning in verse 21, my stars, he begins this laundry list of things. You've heard it said, you've heard it said, you've heard it said, you've heard it said, you've heard it said. But I say to you, I say to you, I say to you, so stay in line with the law of God. You want to reveal the gospel to people? Stay in line with this book. Don't veer from it. There's a lot of confusion going on today, ladies and gentlemen, as to what people are saying in this book. And I'm talking about top theologians, scholars, are coming, CNN's got their camera pointed at them, or some news agency, and they're sticking a microphone in front of the face of a theologian, and they're talking about all the stuff that is now becoming to be very obvious to us, the discrepancies of life, the morality issues, the values, and all that kind of stuff. Well, what do you say? And they'll stick that, well, I don't know that, you know, we are coming to... And they're huffing and puffing over all this stuff, and they're not staying true to what Jesus said. So you want to reveal the righteous life that you have been called to? Stay in line with God's Word. And you say, well, that's easy. Really? Really? Well, let's just put that to the test. You read through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 for the next 24 weeks. Go all the way to Thanksgiving. You say, good Lord, David, we haven't even got to 4th of July. Haven't you got to your birthday yet? Yeah, that's right. But the point is this. We've been called, family of God, we've been called to a spiritual responsibility. And so if I can just sear it into your heart, first and foremost, spiritual responsibility of your life and mine, let's stay in line with God's law. Okay? There's something else. Something else I want you to see here in the righteousness of the kingdom. The question is, how does a believer reveal righteousness? Well, they stay in line with God's law, but they also stay in love with God. Yeah. They stay in love with God. And all through this, you will see that we are supposed to do that very thing. We're supposed to stay in love with God and His wonderful, wonderful Word. And then finally, stay in love with others. Now, this is a visual day. It's amazing how God is just putting these little thoughts in my mind about what things would be pictures in your mind that I trust will never leave. And I wish that I had a big one in front of you. But I want to invite you to think in your mind about a cross. Now, some of you ladies are bearing a cross around your neck. Some of you have a cross, and I applaud that. Have you ever looked at that cross? Some people would look at it just as jewelry. They encrust it with their birthstone or with diamonds or gold or things of that nature, and it's very beautiful. But that's all it is to them. They just look at it as a piece of jewelry. Have you ever thought about what a cross is? I mean, it's pretty simple in its construction, is it not? A cross is built on what? Two beams, right? One is what? Vertical, and the other is horizontal. Yeah. Now, you can't have the horizontal suspended on its own by itself. It's not going to happen. Try it, gravity will take over. So you must first have what? The vertical beam. Now, sort of spiritualize that for a moment. What is first and foremost in your journey, in this spiritual responsibility that you and I have in life? It's my relationship with God. And then, interestingly enough, if you want to take the cross to its fullest picture, and you have put that horizontal beam, then it would seem as if there is a second responsibility, not only with my love to God, but my love to others. You get the idea now? See the cross there? And is that not exactly what Jesus said? Someone came to Jesus and said, what is the great commandment? I want to be a real diligent person here in life. I want to make a real mark in my spiritual journey. I want to be spiritually responsible as a follower. So what should I do first? What did Jesus say? Well, glad you asked. Because you're supposed to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. Love God first. Now that takes care of that vertical relationship, doesn't it? But he didn't stop there, did he? No. No, he said, as a matter of fact, the second is just like the first one. Now that puts a great sense of importance to it. Priority importance to it. And then he said, and the second is likened to the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that a great thing? So here we are. We're looking at it just through the pages and through the words of this wonderful message that Jesus preached to a group of people just like you and me who have all kinds of hurts, all kinds of needs, all kinds of questions, all kinds of confusion, all kinds of pain. And he's teaching us about spiritual responsibility, about the righteousness of the kingdom. And so, how do you stay in love with God? You stay in love with God through His Word and depending upon Him. Well, by the way, can I just share with you that in the message that Jesus preaches, He also shares with us how to stay in love with others. And you know one of those areas? Can I show it to you? If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 7, which is, by the way, part of the composite of this message, you read at the very beginning how Jesus says, you want to stay in love with others? Then don't judge others. Remember doing that this past week? Yeah. You did. I mean, you may be doing it right now. Judging others. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1? Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the same way you judge, you will be judged. I'm probably going to deal with that a lot during this because it just, you know, some of this stuff just hits you right in the heart. You know, people used to come up to me and say, well, that's a pretty good sermon there, preacher. You stepped all over my toes. And I said, rats, I was going for your heart. That's where we need to have the penetration of the Spirit of God upon us to be spiritually responsible about who we are as citizens of the kingdom. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't need to just push that off on somebody else's responsibility. And so one of the ways you can love others is to not judge others. Let me tell you another way how you can stay in love with others, and that's by staying pure yourself. Yeah. But I'm going to give you one that I think is really, really ices it down. And that is by praying for them. Oh, by the way, Jesus mentions that. He'll talk about that. He said, do you have somebody that's against you? Do you have an enemy? You know what you're supposed to do? Love them. Pray for them. Do good to them. Bless them. And here's the classic. I love this. Here's the classic. Well, you just don't know what they've done to me. As if God is being surprised by what they've done to you. But worse than that, God just heard what you said to Him. And in the attitude that you said it, be careful. Be careful. Oh, there's all kinds of illustrations that I could give to you. But let me give you the third and the final part of this three-point sermon that Jesus, as we introduce it to you. And then, God willing, as we come together next week, we'll just sort of launch our little vessel out into the water. And that is the encouragement. There's a sense of encouragement. And I want you to be encouraged. man, I want you to be just at the door. I mean, we start at 11, I want you there at 8:30. All right? Banging on the door. Let me in. I'll get to hear what the next... No. But you'll read it this week. I trust the challenge you'll heed and that you will read this week about this wonderful message that has such penetration to all of our hearts, that teaches us who the citizens are, tells us about the righteousness that they should express and expose, and then the encouragement. The encouragement. Well, how can I encourage you about the kingdom, about entering the kingdom? Well, have you still got your Bible open to Matthew chapter 7? Would you look at verse 13? Because it speaks to us and tells us there about how the journey begins. The beginning of the journey. Notice it says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many, watch that, many who enter through it. Through what? Through the broad gate. But look at verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus would even go on to say that not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I've been a citizen of the United States for all these many years. I've served in the service and I... whatever. And they give you all these... I've been a member of that church for all these many years. I've been a charter member. My granddaddy gave the land. My daddy was a charter... And I'm the... And they give you all this resume of good things, wonderful things. God bless you. Thank you for being so faithful and giving of your tithes and offerings and all that kind of stuff. But the point is, what gate have you come through? Have you entered the kingdom? See what I'm saying? See how this really kind of begins to fine-tune, focus things that we say. And I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if the statistics were true, did you know about 10 people in this room right now have never been born again? I'm just saying if the statistics were there. Well, our church is a little different. No, not really. Okay, maybe it is. Then just 8. And that's 8 too many. And you see, my friend, that may be you today. And you need to enter the kingdom. Jesus deals with that in a very, very penetrating way. And so there's going to be the beginning and then the progress and then the ultimate end of this journey. Well, notice the final thing, and that's the response. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 28, it says, when they had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. They were amazed. And you know what my hope and prayer is for all of us? And I just want to end with a question in just a moment. You know what my hope and prayer is? That as you read this week, Matthew chapter 7, 5, 6, and 7, you read 111 verses, you read 19 different sermons and or messages within the message, that it'll begin a journey of amazement. You'll look at those words and you'll say, wow, that's me. Wow, I did that. Wow, I need to do that. And all along this journey, you, just like those people that were spoken to by Jesus on that crest of that hillside, you too will be amazed. Not just, wow, but to the point that it will change your life. So let me just follow up with one final question. Why did Jesus preach this? Why do I want to take the time, Bill? Why do I want to take the time, Ann? Why do we want to take the time, Sharon and others? Why do we want to take the time to study and to... Why do I want to preach this sermon that Jesus already preached? Why? Well, there's three answers to that. First one is to express truth. You and I need to hear the truth. But wait a minute. Not just express it, but secondly, to expose it. To expose it. And then finally, to apply it. To place it in my life. Not just thinking, boy, I hope old Charlie's listening to this message today.
Old Charlie needs this message. Yes, he does. Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you who else needs it. And with one final little illustration, we'll all be able to participate in this. If you've got an index finger, doesn't matter, right or left hand, well, then let's see it. Okay? Good. Everybody? Wonderful, wonderful. Some of you are real hesitant to participate in this. You think that there's a hook to this, and there's not. There's not. I just want to ask you to do one thing with your index finger. Ready? I want to tell you who this message is for. Ready? Here it goes. Ready? It's for all of us. Yeah, see, it's easy for me to point to somebody else. I hope they're listening. But Father in heaven, express that truth to me. Heavenly Father, expose that truth to me. Let me take that wonderful truth and apply it in my life. As far as I'm concerned, it's the greatest sermon ever preached. And you and I are going to be participants in hearing it, seeing it, and living it. Why? Because we're supposed to be living our lives, how? From the inside out. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Could you be here today and the need of your life, seriously, the need of your life is to enter the kingdom? Maybe you've heard about it. And you've been faithful to come, and you realize that if you were to respond right now by getting up from your seat and walking down and taking me by the hand and saying, David, today I want to enter the kingdom. You would not do that because you would think that that would be an expression. Oh, people would think, people would talk, people would say. I've asked David to come back to the piano and quietly play. Just listen and let the music speak to your heart, because there's room. There's room at the cross for you. You see, today the truth expressed and the truth exposed needs to be the truth applied. And so, what is that truth? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. We are weak, but He is strong. Yes, my friend, Jesus loves you. And maybe you're here this morning and you'd like to enter the kingdom. You'd like to be a part of the kingdom. And this truth has not stepped on your toes, but it's hit you right in the heart. So here you are, at a point of decision, at a place where you can be responsible right now. And so our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and I'm going to ask, if you're here today, and that is a decision that you want to make, or any other decision, you want to rededicate your life to be the responsible follower. Perhaps you want to be a part of this church family. Whatever the decision is, this church, the desire of this church, this brand new day of opportunity is before you. Live today like Jesus lived. So David plays through again quietly. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're just going to remain seated. But if you're today, this is the moment that you say, I'm deciding to follow Jesus. Won't you come right now? Won't you come right now? Boy, that's a great song, isn't it? Well, thank you for being here today. David, thank you again for your beautiful music on the piano. And I'm standing with Chrissy, and they all know who she is, and she has been coming with her family and throughout these many years. You said your mom is home not feeling well. Is that right?
Mother is very sick.
She is very sick. So Michelle is need our prayers, and so you be sure to pray for her. But Chrissy comes and says, you know, I really have wanted to be a part of this church family for some time, but, you know, in God's timing, today's the day. And so she stands before you saying, this is the day, this is the time, this is the place, you are the people that she wants to be a part of in this fellowship, and that we are on our responsible journey to grow as believers in Christ. If it's your heart with mine and you welcome her into this fellowship, been saved, been baptized, everything's in order, and you want to let her know that, would you let her know that by saying a hearty amen? And let's give her a round of applause. Amen? Good stuff. Well, why don't you stand? Let's stand together, and I'm going to just ask her to stand right here and just let you come down and embrace her and shake her hand and hug her neck. And we'll end with a word of prayer, and Mike gets a jump on the hug and the embrace. That's good, though. That's good, because he is living in hope, remember? T-shirt that communicates. Thank you for being here today. Thank you, ensemble. Boy, what a beautiful presentation of the gospel to our music today. And I'm hoping that y'all are enjoying that, and much more to come in that regard. Anything else, Brother Mike, that needs to be said? All right. On the way out, Jack stands at the door, and he has a receptacle. If you have a love offering for the Lord and His work, we appreciate that. Come up here in just a moment and shake her hand, hug her neck, all right? Father, thank you again for the embrace of grace. Thank you for allowing us to be citizens of the kingdom. Thank you for the righteousness that you place within us. And then, Father, thank you for the encouragement that we can be to a world that needs a Savior. Bless Father Chrissy and her family. I trust, Father, you'll watch over Michelle and continue to give her a healing strength. In all that you have done today, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.